That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning. Can you believe that? It is the second Saturday in December, December 13th, 2014, I do believe. And so we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thank you for joining us. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And again, remnant, we say good morning to you, and we say good morning, Lord. I don't know if you can see that sun trying to peek out between the horizon and the bank of clouds that are just above the horizon yet, but it looks to be a beautiful morning, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Well, Jason, if you'll open us up in prayer after that, well, who knows where we'll go.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are grateful to be here. We ask that you guide us and direct us into this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, that you give us the words to speak, Father, and that you just allow this message to get out to where you want it to. Father, we pray that this time may be a blessing to the saints across this land. Let it be a blow to the snakes, and we pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the forces that come against us.
Yes,
guide us and direct us. Bless our hands, the labors that we do. Strengthen us, nourish us, Father. Let our cup overrun with blessings from your throne, Father. We lift up the remnant across this land, and we pray that you tend to each and every one of them, that you tend to their needs, Father, and that you bless them, that you pour out blessings upon them, Father. We want them to recognize that those blessings come from you. We pray that in these times that we're living in, Father, that you just let us and allow us to rise higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower. We pray that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that you just put upon us a forgiveness and a forgiving spirit. We pray that you forgive us of our sins, Father, as we cry out to you to forgive us for all the sins that we've committed, Father. We come to you with clean hands, and we just pray that you empower us In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, didn't know if you guys had anything particular you wanted to start with this morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I know seems like the mess going on at Ferguson, just nobody wants to let it die. It seems to still be creeping up along the headlines here and there between protests. And I know one thing that I'm seeing out of it, I don't know if anybody else is that it's showing the disparity, the discrimination to the people. How white, not even crime, but you know, something happens to a black person by a white person here in this nation, and it's all over the news. And it is just, you know, we have to have a presidential council to address it, and we just have to have better race relations, and we just have to pour tons of money into these race baiters. But yet, when you have a black on white crime, which is 57% more likely to happen than a white on black crime, according to modern day statistics, you just hear nothing about it. And I don't know if I can say I'm thinking it, but I'm at least hoping it, that those that haven't seen that in the past are seeing it now. I don't know if you heard about this Jessica Chambers down in Mississippi, 19-year-old, beautiful little blonde girl, and she was raped and hit over the head and doused with flammable liquid down her throat, up her nose, and set on fire. And miraculously, she lived long enough for the fire department to get there and the EMTs, as she's walking down the road on fire. And you don't hear much about it. It's just kind of, oh, it was horrible and terrible, and they're examining the gas station video for their hunt for the killer. You research it a little bit, and I don't know if anything else came out of it today. But you see that she just broke up with her black boyfriend not too long ago. And, you know, we'll just have to see how this plays out and see who they catch, if they haven't caught somebody already responsible for killing this 19-year-old. But there's no outrage. There's no outrage. It's, oh, that's a terrible thing, is about the most you'll hear.
Yeah. Well, there was just a case in Texas. I guess it must have happened a year ago or something. This young demon, I'm not even going to call him a man because he's not, basically did the same kind of thing to a 15-year-old girl that they poked out her eyes and they raped her repeatedly and actually killed her with beating her with the lid of the toilet tank. And I guess the trial was this week. And by his own admittance, he said he did what Satan told him to do. And the idea of killing this girl was so that the other young demon that was with him could adopt Satan. And as he sat in that courtroom, I guess he was just smiling and no remorse. And of course, they give him life in jail and with possibility of parole in 40 years, both him and they haven't even tried the 16-year-old. I guess he was 17 when this happened, but I don't know about you. That happens to somebody I know, and I don't care what borders are up and what happens. Those two die, period.
Amen.
Well, that, even after reading the story, when you look at the details of it, it just infuriates you so much. I mean, I actually had dreams of just walking up to him with a 45 and bam, bam, two shots, done. Two demons, two less demons, throw them in the ditch and let's move on.
Yeah, but see, that's not what the world wants. That's not what the Antichrist wants.
Yeah. Well, somebody sent me an email this week, I think it was this week, and they said, must not be any demons in hell right now, because they're sure all over the earth. And, boy, you can see that. If you have children, parents, you just need to be so careful. Don't trust anybody. And teach them. Just teach them to be careful. And most of all, pray for them. Pray
Absolutely.
That the armor of God on them every day.
Absolutely. You know, in Matthew 4, when Satan is tempting Christ, Matthew 4:9, it says, and saith unto him, and this is Satan talking to him, the devil talking to him, he says, all these things I will give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. And of course Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. This is King James this morning. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I think the very first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. And we see society today in absolute direct violation of that, because they do worship Satan. They do worship the demons. They do, just as you said, John, and it's come to the time that they are so brazen about it, they just say it. They just come out and tell you what they're doing. And the people still try to apply man's law. And you're right, it has no effect. It has no effect at all.
Well, the day's going to come where...
Hello?
Hey.
Where men will be men again, that's for sure. Morning, Tim.
Yeah.
Good morning. I had a little glitch there on some... had a little technical glitch, but... been listening, so...
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, I don't know how long you've been on, but we were just talking about these demons that are just committing these heinous crimes and the system.
Well, and I think...
Go ahead.
I think you're right on the money, and I think it's in Thessalonians, and I don't have it right in front of me, but, you know, where it talks about them worshiping the created more than the creator. Satan was a created being, and his demons are a created being, and they want to alter the reality of God either through... Man, there's just so many attacks there. It doesn't matter whether it's GMOs or homosexuality or geoengineering, you know, the chemtrail type thing. It's like you can just see them rearing that they want to be God. They're going to place themselves above God. And it's just, it's very troubling, you know, and... you just see it all the way, all over you, that it's such a rebellious spirit in those, in people around us today. You know, there's just things that, and I think a lot of that was going on in clear back in Egyptian times, and definitely during Noah's time, you know, and those kind of things. And we've already got a, the Bible gives us a blueprint. God doesn't deal with that. He doesn't get over that. So, repent or perish.
Amen. Amen.
Well, our God's not mocked, you know. He said, you forget me and I'll forget your children. And there's probably going on three generations of Generation X children who really don't understand Christianity. They don't understand that there's a God that loves them, and you know, the parents are more at fault than anything, I would say.
I agree.
But if you look at this kid there in Texas, he's just a, who knows what he is, you know, some kind of mutt, but you look at him and you can see the demon. Let that be a lesson too. Be leery of anyone who has black eyes, because if you can't see through them, the Bible says the eyes are a window to a soul.
Amen.
If you can't see through them, then there's something dark there.
Good point. Yeah, very good point. You know, and then you look at, you know, too, and you can tell that there's, you know, there's, I don't know, different parts of the enemies or different enemies that we're facing, because, you know, we talk about, okay, that, you know, you're so much more likely to be attacked by a colored person than a white person. You know, the crimes they're making it out, the media is making it out to be that these are all racial crimes, white people against black people, when in fact it's the other way around. Now, why do we not hear, why isn't it on the mainstream media when you hear about these other crimes, like the ones that you're talking about?
Right.
Because there's a conspiracy.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's part of that war. It's showing us that we have another enemy. And, you know, the enemy is, I think what it boils down to is anybody that's not white. You know, there's a plot against white people right now. And, you know, you tell people that, and, you know, they really don't want to hear it. But, you know, it's so obvious in so many different ways. You can see it all around us. It's like the white person is being targeted. You know, if they don't breed them out of existence, they want to kill them out of existence. If they want to, you know, take their jobs, do whatever they can. And they're being fought on so many different fronts right now. I mean, you know, and then you look at what's happened with this immigration deal just here in the last couple of days. It's wow. You know, if the Lord doesn't save the white person, then they haven't got a chance.
The locusts of Joel are upon us.
Yes, absolutely.
Betty sent me another story, too, there about there's a media blackout on this 12-year-old little Savannah, Georgia boy. Went to Keith Passmore, 12 years old, little white boy with red hair, just the cutest little kid. Attended a birthday party for another black kid in a black neighborhood on November 22nd. And when he was leaving, an adult black male decided it would be fun to murder him. After he got into the truck, guy walked up to the window and just shot him in the head and killed him. But you don't hear that on the news.
No. No, you don't. You don't, because that doesn't further the agenda. And, you know, we be not got no Al Sharptons to speak up for us, is the way they look at it. Or one way to look at it. Yeah, there is an absolute media blackout, at least in the national media, when it comes to any type of black-on-white crime. But if you go to look for it, it's all over. It is rampant. It absolutely is. Now, we are somewhat sheltered out here. Thank God for that. We truly are, because of the racial makeup of just the way it is out here. But, you know, we all have friends and family in the bigger towns, whether it's Denver or Tampa or St. Louis. Oh, goodness, St. Louis. But it's any of the towns. In Wisconsin, Wisconsin is seeing... I saw a news report on it earlier today. I don't know if I've got it here in front of me, or earlier this week, but about how Wisconsin is just having rampant black-on-white crime in two major cities, and you hear nothing about it, nothing at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
No, you don't.
Well, I know when we were talking about Ferguson, there were numerous examples of very similar, I mean, almost, you know, boilerplate type shootings that were the other way around. White, you know, kids shot by the cops or by whatever, and never a blip on the mainstream news. I mean, that was all swept under the rug, and I don't know. I'm pretty sure that if a bunch of the Anglo people got together and decided to, like Pastor used to say, when the Saxon begins to hate, if they decided to get together and raise a lot of ruckus, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't hold the National Guard back from that situation, you know. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do all the things that went on.
Well, you read the stories, too, that the National Guard was there, you know, in preparation for this, but they did nothing except protect Walmart, Sam's Club, and the city city buildings. And they let all of the family-owned, smaller businesses just burn. And they said, well, that was a sacrifice that we made to so that we didn't have any death in the rioting. But it's just an attack on a small business as well. I mean, they want corporate. So there's a two-faced agenda, probably more facets than just the two facets.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at this country, the middle class, economically speaking, has always been predominantly white.
Yeah.
And they're also the ones that basically up until a few years or, you know, within this last few years, that was primarily where all of the impetus for the nation came from, and that's where most of the financial, benefit was derived from, was from those people. They were the movers and the shakers, the creators, the manufacturers, those sorts of things. And today it's almost non-existent. They're working on completely destroying that. So that's kind of if you look at the demographics as far as race goes, that's another wipe the white people out, you know. I mean, kick their feet out from underneath of them. And
that's the German, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic European nations who know that if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yes.
Right.
And they're trying to even breed it out of our people. And our people, you know, just like the Bible says, they can become two more fold son of hell. So it's a war. It's a spiritual warfare.
Well, and it's very demoralizing to those people, too. It's like the food stamp issue, or what do they call it, SNAP now, I guess. But, you know, we've got, I think it's one out of every seven people nationwide are involved in that. That's another aspect of, like you said, it strikes against that. If you don't work, you don't eat. But when you're not able to, you know, when you're actually being warred on to the point that you can't do anything, it's a paradigm changer. I mean, people are, it's another way that they destroy those laws that God wrote on his people's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at what they've done.
It's a defiance against God's law. It's basically, you know, when God says one thing and man does another, there's no difference than just sticking your middle finger right up at God and saying,
amen.
You know, there you go. I mean, and that's what we've got with so much of this law. I mean, God says one thing, and man does another. Now, that is defiance. I mean, it's like, it's, and that's what we're seeing with all this homosexuality and these sexual perversions that they're legalizing and saying, oh, well, God says it's not okay to do this, but we're saying that it is okay to do this. So, you know, and there's many things that come out of that. First of all, they're putting themselves above God, and man has put themselves above God in this society. And that's a dangerous place to be. They've elevated themselves above a God, you know, and they're saying, oh, God doesn't exist, is what they're saying. They're saying that we can do whatever we want. We're not going to pay the price. We're not going to pay the judgments. You know, we know better than you do. And, you know, that's a dangerous place to be in society. That's why we as Christians, as separate from that have been bought, baptized, purchased out of that system, are in a lot better place. You know, I wouldn't want to be part of that system, involved in that system, and not bought out of that system, because there's destruction coming to that system.
Amen.
Because my God is greater than them.
Amen.
And I know that. And that's where we need to be as Christians. That's where we need to be in society. And we need to understand that, hey, you know, when we are purchased with that blood, you know, that I'm not part of that. You know, there can be destruction come down on that courthouse in my town
and I ain't going to be a part of it. It's not going to touch my family because we are not a part of it. And, you know, we need to recognize that. We need to walk in it. We need to, you know, and stand in it. But that's what they're doing. It's a, it's an extremely dangerous place to be in their shoes. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't welcome it. Yeah, when God decides to judge them like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, that's a great and terrible day of the Lord. I mean, that's awesome. But, you know, there's always, you always wish you could have got somebody out of there, or, you know, brought somebody more to Christ, or, you know, something. I mean, I'm sure that there's regrets. And there's a reason that it is called the great and the terrible day of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people think that it's just going to be a great day of the Lord, and you know, I don't think that it's going to be just
you can see that as the people's morality declines, largely because of the churches haven't really taught them right from wrong anymore, just whatever.
Absolutely.
The churches have actually molded to the people instead of molding the people to God's word. But you can see as that happens that the Holy Spirit's being pulled back, and things that are happening in this country, things that we see on TV, things that are in print, would never have been in print, you know, even 2 years ago.
Amen. I agree. Yep.
But the devil knows that his time is limited, you know, and the demons know that as well.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I look forward to is the destruction of these churches. You know, they have led more people to the slaughter than anything else. You know, when they don't teach what sin is, when they don't have, they do away with the law, and they say that there's no transgression of the law, you know, you are, that's in a, I think that's probably, that is actually, realistically, that's probably a more dangerous place to be is when in one of these modern-day churches than in one of these modern-day courthouses.
Yeah, and these pastors, I mean, you know, cause one of my little ones to stumble, and better to have a millstone around your neck and cast into the deep sea. Now think of how many that they've caused to stumble.
Yeah.
At least many of you become teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment. People need to realize if you're in a position of authority, especially biblical authority, and you're teaching, and you're not teaching what's 100% biblical truth, and you're not willing to actually study that in the Bible, and if someone brings something to your attention to try to be able to discern for sure that you understand, you know, what you're reading, because there is deluding influences, there's no doubt about it, and there's strength in our brethren too. You know, I don't know, even our pastor, led by the Holy Spirit, you know, prophetic, there was times where he would realize that what he was teaching didn't really line up with exactly what the Bible was, and he would repent of it, you know?
Right.
And none of us are perfect. None of us have all truth. None of us have all knowledge.
Our pastor grew.
I think that's part of,
you know,
exactly.
Our
it's
pastor
humility,
grew
though.
In the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he taught against boxing yourself in a theology of learning one thing and then creating a box and saying, okay, I've learned this, and then building walls around that and saying, I've learned it, and I have nothing else to learn, and even on a particular matter. You know, the no-devil doctrine is a good one, that a good example. It wasn't that when our pastor preached in the first 20 years of his ministry that he denied that there was a Satan or a devil. He just didn't elaborate, didn't study it out like he did, say, in the last 10 years of his ministry. But in those last 10 years, he did study it out, and he did put out the truth that was revealed to him, and it was a little different than, you know, what was put out earlier on, because he grew. He knew, just like it'd be good for all of us to know, that, you know, like you said, John, yeah, we don't have it all figured out. But one of the things our pastor always said was that very thing. I don't have it all, but what I've got, I'm going to give you, remnant. You know, what truth right. I get, I'm sharing with you. I'm putting it out. And, you know, we do our best to continue on in that theme, to continue on that, you know, we don't have it all, But what we get, we're going to put it out there, in prayer, in supplication, in love, in concern. Jason hit it right on the head. It is a war, and the enemy's been winning. The enemy's been winning with, you know, they've taken over, Jason said it, these churches. And the churches are taking as many people, more people down than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the 91st days, you know. For so long, we didn't understand the importance of those days. And there's a lot of things that the remnant, having been baptized for their remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, God reveals things to those people too, those people who diligently search for the truth and for the hidden answers within the Bible, and uses them to disseminate that information to the rest of the remnant. Same with the Passover. You know, we never really, in the early years, understood the importance of that day.
Right. Well, speaking of that, 91st day coming up next week, Thursday the 18th, I believe is when it is. And if you have any questions or remnant out there, if you're not familiar with the 91st days, you can contact our office. We'll have the phone lines open here, wow, halfway through the broadcast this morning. But our office number for during the week, Monday through Friday is 307-742-7582. And our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And if you have any questions or comments on the 91st days, it's getting a little too late to write a letter if you want to partake of this one next week. And so if you contact us, we'll be glad to talk to you about that and do our best to kind of explain it to you. And we've got some information we can email out to you immediately, and we'd be glad to do that. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Why don't we go over to the phone lines this morning? Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey. How are you today?
We're well, Anthony. How are you?
I'm doing okay, considering all the things going on. But it is a battle. We are in an extreme battle, and the enemy is coming in like a flood. The more I think about it, you know, are these the beginning of the tribulation? You know, are we in this to watch the lawlessness and all that's going on in the world here? You know, to watch the injustice take place in the land, and knowing that we are under attack the way we are. What's going on? You know, what's the deal here? I don't know what to say. I mean, you can't turn on the news without hearing some crazy stories. I mean, the manipulation in the media, like you guys were talking about before. You know, what is it? You know, it's so many levels. You said about a many facet level here. And it's hard to put your finger on it, you know?
Yeah, but I think the thing we have
Satan to... Satan is such a deceiver.
Right.
with the movies and everything coming, and I'm not a big movie fan or a movie buff. I used to be. You know, I used to watch movies all the time and go see them. And as I've grown and gotten older, realize just how much programming is done in these movies.
Yes.
It's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
How we've been influenced.
Well, Anthony, it's one thing that's happened is, and I think that's what John was going to mention, is we have to remember it is a spiritual war. You know, back in Jeremiah 10:2, he says, "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations." And the Bible tells us time and time again that God does not change. We are to be separate today. Ezra 10:11 says that, separate yourselves from the peoples of the land. And we are to be separate. And when we're not, this is what happens. when we turn away from God, it was mentioned earlier, I think Jason said it, you know, the people have become as God. The people decide right and wrong. Well, that's not for us to decide. God has already decided that. But the people, the so many of them his people, have decided right from wrong, have put themselves in the place of God. And so God says, okay, see how you can run it. And you can go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read what is happening today. Because as a people, as his called out ones, or at least the people in his this new Jerusalem, they have turned away from him. They haven't been separate. They've become friends with the world and made themselves an enemy of God, is what James 4 tells us. And that's what our people have done. You know, John mentioned earlier that it's the parents' fault. It's the parents', at the very least, responsibility. Hosea 4:6 tells us, "You forget my laws, and I'll forget your children." And I think John's right on. We're third, fourth generation into that. And
You know, at least, right? Sure.
But you know, we still have hope. We still have the promise. He still hears his people. How many times, Old Testament, New Testament? He says, just return to me. Turn back. Now, the world's not going to do that, but we are obliged to do it as individuals. And when we do that, I was encouraged by what Jason said. He said, you know, let the destruction come. Let the courthouse do whatever the courthouse does, and let destruction come on it and come on the ungodly. As for me and my house, me and my family, we are protected. Yeah. We are protected, and we know. It's beyond belief. We know that it will not come upon us when we walk in his ways. And that's what we have to do. Anthony, we have to stay the course. We have to continue. You know, the Great Commission, I had it marked here in March 16. It's one of the places it gives the Great Commission. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples, and he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I've got my King James this morning. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And you know, we see those very things happening. Now, do they happen every single time? Do they happen every time we walk around and everywhere we go? No. But we see these things happening. We do. And we have to remember that he, Jesus Christ, who is above all power and authority, he gave us, those that believe and are baptized, he saves us, and he gives us power and authority over every evil. Over every evil. Over every devil. Over every demon.
Right.
Over every serpent, over every poison, over every sickness.
Well, you know, the issue too, like we mentioned before, it's the churches. If they don't tell you who the enemy is, and I'm talking about, you know, on the majority, you know, they're not telling you who the enemy is, and they're not telling people who the enemy is. They're just, "Oh, praise Jesus, and come to church on Sunday, and oh, we're going to be good, and God is good, and love thy neighbor," and give you such a small fraction of what the Bible is telling us and what God's commandments are, that people are not equipped for or to know who the enemy is to even fight or to guard themselves against. Like you said, the churches mold into the people, not the people mold into the churches. And the pastors they're impotent. They have nothing. They have nothing. They can't take a stand. They're on the 501c3. They can't get political. They cannot, if they're not going to talk to the people and tell them the truth and have the stones, as Pastor Peter said, to talk against and expose the enemy for what it is, then people are being deceived and led away. And that's happening on such a large scale as the nation falls away from the truth, because without the church preaching, proclaiming, who else is going to preach it? I mean, everyone should be listening to Pastor Peters. He should be on every single radio station at night, you know, or you guys, you know, your ministry should be out there more. I know it's on shortwave, but, you know, it's like, what a breath of fresh air to hear the truth and hear some people talking and know that there is, that there is a true preacher or a true gospel or those that are in the Word and calling out evil for what it is. No one's hearing
you gotta...
it. They're hearing the good message and the soothsayers all over the country because they don't want to tell anybody and upset people and convict them of their sin and tell them they have to turn from their wicked ways because then they won't have anyone in the pews, you know? So, who said that? What'd they say? I think it was Brother Stair. I don't know. I like him. He's got some good stuff, and I do listen to him, too. But he said, Obama, it's not Obama's fault that the nation's in the condition it is. It's the nation's condition that Obama is in the White House, you know?
Absolutely.
And it made me think, like, wow, yeah, you know, he definitely hit that one on the head. But
well, we reap what we sow as a nation.
And I know, like I said about the movies before, but I grew up and I watched Star Wars. Here's one example real quick. I watched Star Wars as a kid, and it had an influence on me in my life, you know, definitely. Growing up, you know, it was one of my favorite movies and things like that. So they have a new one coming out next year. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer. It was on, you know, YouTube and stuff. So trailer comes out, one of the most anticipated movies to come out, you know, in a long time. And the trailer, first thing in the trailer, you see a desert, and a few seconds of a desert, and a black guy pops up, breathing heavy, like he just fell or something, and he got up. You see his big head. Guy is as black as can be. He's a Nigerian somebody from, or nobody, actor from somewhere. And he's the new lead role in the Star Wars franchise. Now, I'm not going to watch the movie, but how many people is it going to influence? Not only is he the lead role in the Star Wars franchise, guess who his girlfriend is? His love interest is going to be a white woman.
Yeah,
you know, how these people are pushing.
That's the plan. That is the plan. It is.
The plan.
It is. That's their plan. They make their plans. We have to, as we read, do not learn the way of the nations. Separate yourselves.
Right.
That has always been a commandment for us. It still is. Hey, Anthony, got two more lines ringing. We're going to try to get them on this morning. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks.
And good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. This is Nancy, Willis's wife.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to call and let everyone know that I had a good opportunity to witness to my sister this week. She hardly ever calls me. So I had decided to give her a text and find out how she was doing. And she really doesn't like to talk to me because she knows, you know, that I'm Christian and been baptized and tried to get her to do the same. But anyway, we had a conversation, and she was, like, really short with her words, like she didn't want to talk to me. And she had, through a conversation, she was telling me about these two lesbians that are friends of hers, and she was telling me that they were fine, and I never even said anything about that, okay? And she did that like fiery dart at me, I believe. And and then I asked her about, you know, the end times and what she thought. And she said that she doesn't like to think about it and she really don't care. And so while we were talking, she got a call from her son who's in college, and he was calling her to tell her that one of his best friends just got in a car wreck, and she had texted me back to tell me that, and that she needed to talk to him. And I'm like, okay. I said, you know, I'm sorry about that. And I texted her, you know, a lot of young are dying, and she didn't say anything. She didn't text nothing back. And I gave her the scripture, Hosea 4:6, and texted it to her, and she didn't text nothing back. She just said, you know, love you, and I texted back, love you too, you know. But I thought that was a great opportunity that God gave me, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Try to help her. And maybe, just maybe, she'll look up that scripture, you know. And, well, I pray that she does after we got off the phone. Needless to say, I cursed the lesbians that are her friends and prayed for her. So.
Well, Nancy, it sounds you know. Like you took advantage of the opportunity, hopefully planted a seed, you know, that will find some, that eventually will find some fertile ground and, you know, we'll come back and bear some good fruit in your sister's life.
Yeah, I hope so, because I've got seven brothers and two sisters, and most of them are baptized, but she's one of them that isn't yet. And, you know, we were raised Catholic, so she's, you know, in that Catholic belief still. I mean, she's not a practicing Catholic, really, you know, but that's how she was raised. And
right.
Just trying to...
All you can do is
put her away from that.
You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
right. But anyway, I just wanted to, you know, mention that, and I felt pretty good about that phone call, actually.
Well, good.
Oh, yeah. I can see why.
Yeah. It's good to put that out.
You gotta take advantage of those situations when the Lord gives them to you too, because sometimes you don't get another one.
Yep. Amen.
Okay, well, everyone have a good day.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Got one more phone ringing here. Got a few minutes left. Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee.
Good morning, guys. This thing about the name in Jesus' name, and you hit that right on with what you said there a few minutes back about the power being given to you. You see, the thing is, when you're doing something like what was happening with the 70, when they said all those forces were subject to them, but they said something very right on with that. They said, in your name. See, it's the use of Jesus' name in this for us is like when a king that has all power and all authority, he's the absolute supreme commander in some place, if he was to send his son or if he was to send a general into a town, and that king gives that person that he sends authority to act in his name. See, when you're using Jesus' name, he's empowered you to do by his name. You're doing it in his name. And you see, when the 70
said that
those things were subject to him,
when you call upon the name of the Lord and you're using Jesus Christ and you're calling on him as your deliverer, you have more authority than a king that has power in a land. You're calling on a God that has all power, that gives power to the kings.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that is a supreme power over that.
It
King
is.
Kings and Lord of Lords.
The power of powers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, phone lines ringing. Got two more. Appreciate the call. And absolutely, the name of Jesus over all power and authority. And guys, it's like a Christmas tree in here. The phone line's here. Let's get another caller. Lost that one. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. This is Patrick in Minnesota. I was just calling. You had mentioned the 91st day is next Thursday. It's actually next Wednesday, the 17th.
Wednesday to Thursday, okay.
Yeah. I was just going to call in and state that. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Wednesday, starting at noon.
Yep. Yeah, noon on Wednesday to noon on Thursday.
Because we're out of daylight savings time, so. All right. Hey, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Want to make sure we get the right date out there.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Hey, thanks, bye. Patrick. Wow. Well, a lot going on this morning. Got about 10 more minutes here, almost, with Coffee with the Wranglers.
You know, the thing we got to realize is that these churches have been infiltrated by evil.
Yes.
The architect of this whole thing is Satan and the devil. And he's been doing this for years. I mean, just look at the protocols. What was one of the protocols to infiltrate the churches? And they've done it. And I think they're at the point now where they feel like that they have control of the churches. And if you look around, I would have to agree with them.
Yes,
but we got to remember that through baptism, we're purchased out of man's system and brought into Jesus Christ's system, and we're protected by the blood of Jesus. We just have to have the faith. It's all about faith. That's why we need to be praying, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, give us more faith. Lord, give us more Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, remember grace and mercy on your people in your wrath. And find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Now, that's what the Bible tells us to do.
Yep.
It does.
I'm amazed at how many people don't even never even heard of Ephesians 6 and the full armor of God.
Yeah.
I would say 80%, probably more than 80% of the people that you talk to, when they talk about all these things going on, and you say, well, are you praying Ephesians 6, the full armor of God over you and your family? What? Huh? Where's that at?
Yeah. Well, the Bible, the churches have not taught the people to read the Bible. It's not that different than the Roman Catholics of old that kept the Bible in their Latin and would not let and burned Protestants at the stake for printing the Bible in English and providing it to the common man, because they're going to hell and they want to take you with them is basically what it is. They do not enter into the kingdom, I think is how the Bible puts it, and they prevent as many as others as they can from entering in as well. And you know, you have to read the word. I mean, you have to be called, but you know, reading the word, we are like almost no other generation in the history of time. This last generation or two, and in that we have his word right here in front of us. You can buy a Bible for a dollar at the dollar store. You can find them on the clearance rack at almost every bookstore you go into if they still carry Bibles. And you know, when we stand before that great white throne judgment, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great judge says, why didn't you read my word? Why didn't you believe my word? Why didn't you? There's not going to be an answer. There's not going to be an answer for those that, you know, so many today will, they'll have their big screen TV and the little screen TV in the kitchen and another TV over here so they can catch that ball game, whether it's basketball or football or all of them.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to do them any good on that judgment day. You know, Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, that's now. That tells me that there's going to be a time that he can't be found, and there's going to be a time that he's not going to be near. And I think that time fast approaches.
Amen. Well, and no matter what's going on, like 1 John 4:4, you know, you are from God's little children and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that have... that's a past tense, you know. It's already a done deal. You know, we're just, it's just a case of trying to reach, like we said, as many of God's people as we can, or of the remnant as we can, and trying to get people in the right way. And like Nancy says, I think also clean hands with our friends and loved ones and trying to teach our children and keep that all in order, you know.
Amen. And he is still our hope and salvation. Psalms 35 says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me, saying to my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. You know, God was an ever-present help and salvation for David, and he is today. I like what it says there in verse 3. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. We have to remember that. We have to remember that, like Anthony in New Jersey called. And, you know, what do? Everybody is coming against us. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. But even with everybody coming against us, God is still there. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is still there. He is still our salvation. He is still our shield and buckler, our rod, our sword, and our strength.
Count it a blessing. Count it a blessing to be persecuted for Jesus Christ. That's what we got to remember. And if you're going to a church or you're not being persecuted, then you better step it up.
Amen. Well, I know a little church in Colorado that has been persecuted over the years, and we invite you to come there tomorrow. You can join us at church on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us at scriptures4america.org. That's where we'll be streaming the live services from church tomorrow morning, and we do encourage you to join us there. Tim, thanks for taking the time this morning to join us. I know... We sure appreciate you getting up. And guys, thanks so much there as well. And we will partake of communion. We do that on Sunday mornings when we gather at church. And we, by streaming it live, the services live, it gives you, the remnant, an opportunity for some fellowship and also to partake of communion. That is an important part of abiding in Christ and having Christ abide in you. And again, we have some writings. We have a booklet and some CDs on communion. If you're not that familiar with it, we'd be glad to send it to you just to help you along your path. Our address again, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email address, preacher@sfaw.org. Well, guys, thanks. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell's and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off.